This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans, and welcome to the latest edition of Two Birds on a Bat, a St. Louis Cardinals baseball podcast. Coming to you from the patio studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinals baseball fans everywhere. Happy to announce, too, that our first date at patios will be this Friday. No better way to commemorate Mr. Pujols coming to town than to hit patios this Friday and say hi to some of our fans and all the great Cardinal fans that are out there. Remember that patios is the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Whether it's pre or post game, that's the place to meet. Patios right next to Busch Stadium. And again, look for us there about 5:15 on Friday. Happy to answer questions, talk to some people. You guys get a chance to meet a legendary dude. And when I say dude, I mean the man, the myth, the legend on the m4byyachty.com hotline, our good friend Benji Molina. What's going on, buddy?
What's going on, guys? I'm ready to go, man. I'm excited for that series, but we need to take care of business before that series, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, for sure. Want to thank innovative companies before we get started as well. I know, you know, we both think the world of Randy Green and his support of our show, but his friendship to us is he's just a really good dude. And I know that both of us are happy that he's a part of what we do, because you can't have enough great people in your life. So if you're needing somebody, whether it's residential, commercial, or industrial work, especially if you need construction, heating and cooling, or electric work, Randy Green's your man, folks. I'm telling you, just a tremendous guy that does great work. Happy, like I said, to have him a part of what we do here at Two Birds on the Bat. And just, you know, a man of his word, and still believes a handshake is how you do business. Take a look at innovativecompanies.com. 35 years experience, second generation craftsman. He comes from that generation where, you know, like I said, if he shakes your hand, it's going to get done. That's our good friend, Randy Green, with innovativecompanies.com. I got to tell you, you bring up this current series that we're on. You know, you look at the Cardinals, and I got to tell you, this is an interesting thing for me as a Cardinal fan, because I know, Benji, we've been talking a little bit about the way some of the things have been going for certain players and the ups and downs and the roller coaster. And, you know, I just have this weird feeling as I look at this across the board, and I just think to myself, you know, we're 37-34, and we're only 2.5 games back of the Brewers. You know, I'm like, it's not like we're, you know, so far gone. I mean, the one team that seems to be kind of running away with the National League right now is the Dodgers. I mean, they're playing really, really well.
And the other teams are playing back.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at this thing, and I don't know about you, but like I said, it doesn't change the fact that I think we're all fans, include every fan. I mean, nobody's like saying anybody's any smarter or dumber than the other one, but you know, we look at this team and we can kind of see the inconsistencies, right? But somehow or another, you know, they've managed to have themselves only 2.5 games out of the lead. So, you know, you got to look at some positives there. If you look like over their last 15 games, I think they're actually playing pretty decent baseball. So, you know, is this the feel? Like, I know you got back in town Sunday, so you were around the guys a little bit yesterday. They're coming home off of a long road trip. Is there a feeling maybe inside the clubhouse that now's the time to make a little run here?
I think so. They feel it, you know. They know that the boys on you know in Miami are not playing the best baseball. They have a bunch of young guys. They have a lot of talent, Jimbo. I mean, that pitcher yesterday, he could throw. He could pitch. So, but anyways, we need to put it together. They have a feeling. They smell it. They smell like they want to do this. With the Miami, it's a really good step to go forward. So we'll see what happens now on this series. But before we head on, we have to be thinking on Miami right now.
Yeah, that's the thing. I know you're people that have listened to you speak and talk, you know, you're real big on today. You know, play for today, win today, worry about tomorrow. I guess my thing for you would be, you know, if there's ever a time to take that thought process, it's probably now. I know that you and I have talked a little bit, you know, off the air about what, you know, what you see going on as opposed to other clubs. But I will say this, if I look at different clubs and some of the things they're dealing with, it seems like all across baseball, a lot of guys, you know, are getting shelled from a pitching standpoint. You know, is this something where maybe the league has adjusted to maybe the change in the pitching style over the years with all the velocity and with all the not having guys pitch a third time through the order? Does everything kind of what comes around goes around with these hitters?
I think so. I don't think it's I really don't believe that strategy is going to last too long. I think when the pitcher throws five innings, you're just putting a lot of pressure on your bullpen, man, and we're seeing it ourselves. I don't have to tell you anything. We're seeing it firsthand. I mean, those Brevia, Gant, they're having to do a heavy load. But you know what? It's all right. If they can handle it, it's fine. It's the teams that have the pitching that or somebody that cannot handle it. Those are the teams that needs to worry about. I think I really do believe that if you had that, like these kids, they just throw five innings and they go home. I mean, I don't think it's a good idea. But anyways, like you said, we need to adjust. That's the way the game is going right now. So that's what it ain't gonna change for a while. But I think it's gonna take its course, and later on when more guys come out and start throwing seven innings, and that's it. You know, you have to throw seven innings in the major league game to be here or things like that. But for now, we have to adjust to what we have. And the bullpen looks good, Jimbo. The bullpen looks good. I really like the bullpen. And we always say, remember this, we always said it, when those guys in the bottom of the lineup hit, we are in a good shape. And that's what's happening these days. The Baders, the Wong, the Fowler, they're hitting. So whenever they hit, for some reason, the team starts winning. And it's happening. I mean, it's something that's happening. So we got to pay attention to that, right?
Yeah, it's you know, I think everybody feels good when guys that, you know, are in the bottom of the lineup are doing their job, because if you talk to any manager in bait, like I've heard many managers speak about this, and they all say, you know, most teams around the league have a really good idea what they're going to get 1 through 5. Every team would say, yeah, I mean, I feel good that at the end of the year, this is what 1 through 5 is going to look like. A lot of them will tell you that 6, 7, and 8, a lot of times will define their season, as long as, you know, your 1 through 5, you know, just does what you think it should do. You don't even need a great season out of 1 through 5. If you just get an average season out of 1 through 5, teams that, you know, 6, 7, and 8 really step up, it makes it special. And I think we all believe that 6, 7, and 8 on this team can do some things, especially when 6, 7, and 8 a lot of times includes Bader and Wong. And I think some of that is the speed that they bring to the base path.
Yeah, they put pressure on the other defense. They put pressure on guys, you know, even if they hit it. You know what? One of the things that I wish they could do more as a team, not as a team, I should say, I should mention some more guys like Wong, Bader. I wish these kids would hit more ground balls. You know what I'm saying? Like line drive ground balls. Because they're caught up right now in hitting fly balls, and sometimes it's a waste and out. We all saw what could happen when you hit ground balls, when you hit line drives and ground balls, the errors can happen, and then you can open up. But if you keep hitting fly ball after fly ball, those guys are 99% caught the whole time. So I wish these kids understand the value of the speed, where you can just put the ball on play and run and see what happens. And this is with two strikes, maybe with no strike, one strike. You can take a shot, you know, you can try to hit out, but you're just going to keep wasting your at-bats, man, if you keep hitting fly balls and fly balls and fly balls when you're supposed to hit land drives and ground balls. You're just wasting your at-bats, man. I just hope they do more of that, you know?
Yeah, I think that, in my opinion, that right there is kind of what I want to ask you about a little bit today from a player's perspective. And I think one of the things you're alluding to there is the ability to adjust, not just season to season, not just month to month, but actually game to game and at-bat to at-bat adjustments. Because I don't know that we give enough thought to the fact that that's what makes a Major League Baseball player a Major League Baseball player, is their ability to adjust in an at-bat. And you know, the way a pitcher attacks them, the count, the strike zone, all those types of things are all pretty important when it comes to being a successful Major League Baseball player, not just a Major League Baseball player. So I want to get some thoughts from you on that as you live that life. And I'm sure at times it was hard on you, just like it's hard on every Major League player, because it's such a tough game. So while we're thinking about that, I want to remind everybody to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. You can subscribe to the show there, which is what we're asking everyone to please do. It takes about 30 seconds. It's free and painless. So we'd love that. If you guys could also check out our Two Birds bloggers through our twobirdsonabat.com, we would love that as well, as those people do a great job writing for us, and we appreciate their content, as it just helps broaden our horizons here on the show and reach more people. So thanks to them. They do a great job, and really excited every time something new comes out to see what they have for us. Also find us on social media at Birds on the Bat Show on Twitter. If you're a Cardinal fan and follow us, we're going to follow you back. Hit us up on Facebook, type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. Please click invite your friends. And when you do see the pinned post, if you would comment on it, like it, and share it, that would also help us reach more people and bring them into our community. Very much appreciated for all of you that do that on a consistent basis. Find us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show as well. Happy to be part of LineupMediaGroup.fm, the fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Also home of the newest streaming platform, Yo Radio. Download it for free on your mobile device today. You guys will enjoy that. To all of our partners, including Adam's Smokehouse, the best barbecue in St. Louis, located on Watson Road. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. They do box lunch orders. Great catering services if you guys need something like that done. And of course, the staff, including the owner, Mike, and his crew down there, and our own intern, Will, working there. They're going to take good care of you if you go in. It's a great atmosphere. You get to take advantage of the specials, and I'm telling you, there's nothing you can get there that you won't walk away and go, man, that was fantastic. That's Adam's Smokehouse on Watson Road. St. Louis, here's your cue. To our good friend, Dr. Kristen Jacobs, who wants to remind you, me, and everyone that it's always Skin Cancer Awareness Month, please check out her wonderful Ooh La La Spa Anti-Aging Wellness Center. She does tremendous stuff for people that just feel like they need something for themselves, but she does always take extremely serious the fact that skin cancer is a real thing and something that a lot of people kind of put off in the distance, much like myself. And we all should think about it a little bit more, but she definitely wants to remind everybody. You can learn more about the Ooh La La Spa and Anti-Aging and Wellness Center at drkristenjacobs.com. Her continued support means a lot to us as she shares our stuff throughout the community to all of her friends that are Cardinal fans everywhere. So thank you, Doc, and keep up with a great message to all of our listeners out there as well. Can't thank the Gators Baseball Academy enough as well. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Tryouts right around the corner, folks, for all you guys involved in baseball out there. Missouri Gators, Illinois Gators, doesn't matter. We got you covered as we expand over in Illinois now as well. We're going to ask you to go to GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. You guys can get registered. Learn more about our four-pillar system, as it matters the type of people that are in front of your kids, folks. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. All right, Benj, I got to ask you, you played this game a lot, and the one thing that I hear from guys that I talk to is, I think, you know for sure that, I'm just, I've made it my business to learn more and more and more about hitting for many, many years. And the things that when I have the opportunity to talk to some of these great hitting coaches that they talk about is the separation between an average hitter and a great hitter, and a mediocre hitter. And we're talking about going up through the ranks of a guy that comes all the way from high school to college or right into the minors and then, or college into the minors and then makes, then gets a cup of coffee in the pros and then becomes a pro. A lot of it is that individual's ability to make adjustments and not just make an adjustment every time you go work with your hitting coach. These guys are talking about in at bat adjustments. And I, and you touched on it a little bit earlier when you talked about, you know, early in the count, yeah, if you get a go pitch and you want to try to spank it or hit it, you know, whatever, that's fine. But the ability to adjust to a way they're attacking you, to hit with two strikes, put the ball in play. We've heard that being been talked about much, much more these days to cut down on the strikeouts. For you as a professional player, how important was that in your rise in the game of baseball to be able to be a consistent major leaguer as far as being able to make adjustments?
Oh, wow, Jimbo. It was very important. You will not even be in a major league uniform if you weren't consistent, first of all, and if you weren't just a normal hitter, like you just said. Like, if you didn't know, like, if Willie McGee came up to the big leagues and he keeps trying to hit fly ball, I bet you anything Willie McGee would not stay in the big leagues those years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because Willie McGee is a line drive to get on base guy, right? That's what Willie McGee is. So if Willie didn't have the ability to do that, he would have no idea or no chance to be in the big leagues, bro. You know what? Another thing is, Jimbo, these kids are not prepared. You know? These kids are not prepared to be in the big leagues. They're so young. They're just having instructional league in the big leagues. And that's never even going to be possible back then, you know?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. It would seem to me, and again, I know that, you know, things are not always as they seem sometimes, but the ability to play the game of baseball, and again, I've talked to, and I'm fortunate to have a relative that's a AAA coach for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I talk to these guys, and they'll tell you there's no shortage of athletes and guys that can really, like, go out and play baseball. It's not the physical side for a lot of these guys. It's the mental side. And sometimes, especially in this day and age of you know, you've got some guys making a whole lot of money, and then you've got some guys that kind of offset that by making major league minimums. You know, would you say that baseball as a whole is rushing guys to the major leagues in an effort to save money?
I don't know if it's about saving money, but it looks like it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. It looks like they're trying to save money because they're paying a lot of money on other guys. So they have to eliminate some of the medium salaries, some of the guys that get, you know what I'm saying?
Like, sure.
They don't want to overpay some guys, and then all of a sudden the other guys are being paid too, you know? So they have to even out these things. But what happens is the other day I got a question on why do you think a lot of home runs are being hit these days? And I said it very simple, and the guy is like, wow, I never thought of it, but it's true. Think about it. The more young guys that you bring up in the big leagues, the more inexperienced there is, right?
Right.
The more guys that you don't see the Ken Bottomfield, you don't see the Ken Hill anymore, you don't see those guys that Aaron Seeley, or things guys that could pitch because they spent 4 years in the minor leagues battling their butts. I mean, there's some out there, but the majority of these young guys, they don't know how to pitch. They throw wild pitches that are way, way out of the zone, and then they throw nasty pitches. And they're surviving like that because their league has become an instructional league. Some league that, okay, I'm not going to win. I know I'm not going to win. I traded everybody away. Let me bring my young guys to get experience. You see what I'm saying? You didn't see that when these teams were being built before because everybody wanted to win. Everybody thought they had a chance that year. But we have more and more teams that are tanking, I guess, is that the word? And teams don't care if they lose. So they bring their young guys, and these young guys are just middle or a ball. They haven't learned how to pitch yet. Some of them are good, you know. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about every single one of them. But the majority of the young guys are learning how to pitch in the big leagues. So of course, the home runs are going to go higher. You know, the hitters are, you know, the hitters are going to be, the teams are good. They got great hitters, and the home runs are going to go higher. But if you give those kids and you keep them in the minor leagues for at least one more, maybe two more years, I bet you they'll be more prepared. But that's the major league we see in these days. They like to see the 100 miles an hour guy, but he walks three in an inning. But he gets a zero, but they love to. They don't care if they walk three guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As long as he throws hard, they don't care if he walks three guys. And that's what's wrong in this league. But, like I said, we just need to adjust, right? That's the way it's going. A lot of more young guys are coming up, and you're like, who is this guy? And how long has he been in the minors? And he haven't been so long, and he's just, you know, instructional league in the big leagues again. And that's why you see the home runs and the instability on the league, you know?
Yeah, for you as a player, and, you know, you see this sometimes, you know, you see this a lot with players coming up and going down, and, you know, a lot of times we as fans look at it and say, oh, well, you know, they weren't ready or whatever. We see guys in the big leagues now that come up and do well and go back down because that's just business, right? As a player, you know, the last couple of years, we've heard this a lot, right? Like, it seems like it's happened more the last couple of years than I ever remember being a Cardinal fan. Guys that just can't figure it out at the big league level, even if they've had some success at times, and it's like they got to go back down. And I know you've mentioned this before. The biggest thing there, everybody wants to make excuses for it, and they want to blame somebody for it. But the problem is that a lot of people seem to forget that this is not the place to figure it out and develop, unless you are tanking or unless you don't care if you win. So that's what the minor leagues is for, is figuring it out, isn't it?
That's what it works for. It's not for anymore. You see what I'm saying? It was for that in the minor leagues. Everybody had to go work their issues over there. But it ain't like that anymore, bro. It's not like that. You know, and it's going to be really sad when, you know, when they find out that these kids, that's why, what's the name of that shortstop in Atlanta, the kid?
Oh, Swanson.
Yeah. You know, you see Swanson, and you're like, oh, man, he's doing great right now. He's hitting good, blah, 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 blah. You're like, yeah, he has 2 years in the freaking major league hitting one something.
Yeah.
When do you see that? Give any player 2 years in the major league playing every day, hitting one something, and I bet you the third year they're going to be great. They're going to be fine. They find their way, unless you're not that guy, you know?
Yeah, it's hard. Like, you know, it's hard when you're trying to win. And again, I'm not accusing the Atlanta Braves of anything, but it's hard if winning is your main concern to stick with a guy every day hitting 200. It just is. I don't care how good a defense he plays. Everybody wants to make that point, and I get it. Ozzie Smith didn't hit 200. You know, he hit a little bit. He contributed on offense some way, shape, or form. You know? So people need to realize, go back and look at it. These guys didn't hit 210, 215, 220. These guys hit a little bit.
They won't even be allowed in the league. You know, you didn't hit in the minor league, Jimbo. You didn't hit a 275 in the minor league. You never touched the big league back then. You would have never touched the big league back then if you hit 220, 240 in the minor league, 250, 260. That wasn't good enough to be a major league player. But why did they do that? Because they understand that, obviously, if you hit 280 in the minor leagues, 290, you have a better chance to hit in the big leagues. Well, right now, these young guys, most of these young guys, they just want them up. They just want them, oh, this is my first round pick. He has to be up in 2 years. Well, okay, but it doesn't have to be, because if he doesn't show that he's good enough, he shouldn't be. But this is the league we're going right now. This is the kind of league that we are going into, where you see more and more young guys. Like I said, it looks more like an instructional league to me. Not everything, Jimbo. Let's not get it confused. I'm not saying the whole league is instructional league, right? I'm not
right.
saying.
No, that. I know what you mean. But it seems like every team, my example would be, it seems like for most teams, if you have a Paul Goldschmidt, you have to offset that with a couple of players that make league minimum. It almost feels like that as a fan if you look at it from the outside. Now, you know, I understand that that's part of it, but if you look across and you look at these guys and you know, you start thinking, okay, can this guy play at this level? Well, you give him a chance and you stick with him for a while. But after a while, I mean, how long can you stick with him? Even if they play great defense, I brought up Ozzie Smith, and I'm looking at his career numbers. I mean, Ozzie Smith routinely hit, I mean, you know, I'm looking at his years here. I mean, even the years that he hit 240, 243, 248, he was stealing 25, 34 bases. His on-base percentage was really, really good. So those were his bad years. I mean, he had a couple years where he hit 300, 280, 276, 273, 285. And this guy was stealing 30-plus bases a year on top of playing Gold Glove defense and not striking out. And I mean not striking out. I mean, I'm looking here. I think his worst strikeout season was not even with the Cardinals. His worst strikeout season as a Cardinal, I think, was 43 one year. Routinely in the 20s. He struck out 17 times in 1984. I mean,
there was the league back then. I always like to compare. I'm an old school guy. I don't care. I'm always being, and I always will be an old school guy. They were ballers. The definition of ballers. You just go and get it in your head what ballers mean, and then you go around the league and you pick your choose. You pick and choose who are your ballers, and that's what I think is more important, right? I mean, they were ballers. I told you about my conversations with Willie and with Ozzie and all these guys, and they'll tell you there's not many ballers left. There's guys that have potential. There's guys that the team thinks it has potential. This is another thing we haven't even discussed. The team, the guy who drafted him, the guys who signed him, think they have potential. But other guys see that there's not too much potential, and they're showing you what they can do as far as they can go. But you and your heart as the organization, and I'm not talking about the St. Louis Cardinals, I'm talking about in baseball, they feel, they're like, oh, no, he has the potential to hit 20, the potential to get 100 RBIs in this league. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. they that's what they do. And all of a sudden, you have guys thinking, oh, this guy could be great. And before you know it, you're stuck with a guy for what, 7 years?
That's, yeah.
And being the same.
What's your, I'm curious your thoughts on, this is an interesting one for me, the team's betting on the players at such a young age. It's one thing, I think, for some of the guys that are, I mean, I don't, like, there's certain players that, you know, they come up as heavy, heavy prospects, and they've been ranked forever, and they're high. And those maybe, to me, make a little more sense. But guys that come up and have a little bit of success, even with no consistency, but look like they can play and look like they're going to be something, and then the team all of a sudden approaches them and they sign them to a 5-year deal. Now, the team's explanation for this is, you know, you're probably going to have them under team control for that amount of time anyway, and then a lot of times it involves buying out some of those arbitration years where they could really get hammered. But this is a gamble both ways for player and organization, and then with that comes pressure to perform, pressure for the front. We see it sometimes here because a guy has been signed for 5 years, that he's going to play even when he struggles because they invested in him for 5 years at such a young age. Do you think this is a good or bad thing for baseball as a whole?
It's great for a player. It works out for a team when the guy does well. But think about it, Jimbo. Those guys are picked. Those guys you can pick with your own hand, with your fingers. You can see, you can name them, those guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's not many guys like that. There's not many guys that you can go and say, oh, let's give him 5 years. He's going to be a stud, and he's going to kill us in arbitration. There's not many of those. The team gets desperate. As a player, I love it. As a player, I love it. I'm a player, and if you're going to pay me right now for 5 years and I know I'm not that good, man, just give me the money. I'll take it as a player, right? But as a ownership, I think they panic. They think they're going to be robbed or something in the arbitrations or something like that, and they get desperate. But, hey, man, I'll tell you what. Name me one guy that they signed young and did what they needed to do, and you'll be surprised how many guys you can do that. I would say Altuve. I would say Trout. Who else signed young?
Pujols.
In this lady. Well, Pujols older, right?
Well, I'm saying they did sign him when he was young, but he didn't get. You know, 40 or 50 million. He got 100 million and he earned every dime of it when he was like his second year in the leagues. But that was one that worked for both parties, except I'm sure Albert wishes he probably would have waited, but that one actually worked. But, you know, again.
But no, I'm saying lately, the younger guys now, you can name them and they're not going to be 10 that you're like, oh, shoot, oh, I did great with my contract. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not even going to be 10 of those. But they're now name me most of the guys that got the money and then didn't perform. Now name me those, and they're going to be more than 20, easy.
Well, I think
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and my biggest concern, and I know you and I've talked about this a little bit. My biggest concern is, and you know, I'm not here to, I'm not going to name names or anything like that, but because we're not, and the reason I'm not going to name names is because it's going to sound like I'm just talking about the Cardinals, and I'm not. My biggest concern is what it does to managers and their ability to play the right players, because there is a pressure to play these guys that these clubs have committed to, even if they struggle, because they are signed and they're going to stick with them and they're going to get every chance. And even if they send them down, you know they're coming back.
So who's to blame on that one?
Well, that's kind of my point.
It's very easy. Because if you sign a guy and he doesn't perform, the ownership did good by signing him because they thought he could do it, right? I mean, they did good by signing a guy that they are thinking 300 and 80 RBIs and all that, and all of a sudden it doesn't work. So it's really hard to say whose fault it is, because the player has to perform. He hasn't been performing. And the ownership need to know more or need to do more homework on that, because either that or he didn't know what the heck the player was, you know? So it's kind of hard to say for Mozadek or DeWitt and Gersh. It's really hard to say, man, that was a bad signing on Paul Goldschmidt. Because Paul Goldschmidt, you know, it's really behind on what he can do, right?
Yeah.
He's on pace to hitting 30 home runs, and he's on pace to get him, but the RBIs are way low. You know, everything is way low. So, but they don't sign him for that. We had this conversation before. Yeah. But the whole thing is, Jimbo, you have to be smart. Sometimes you blame the ownership. Sometimes it's the player that he doesn't perform. He doesn't perform. You can't, you know, it's like Carpenter struggling, you know. You can't, I mean, he just got signed for a big deal. So what, as an ownership, what do you want? You want this kid to explode. Because I just gave you a contract and things like that. But sometimes it doesn't work. But who do you want to blame? It's kind of hard to do, right?
Well, it is funny how, to me, what I think is interesting is no matter how you do those contracts, no matter what you do with them, one way or the other, somebody's always complaining. I mean, if the player signs a contract as a young, talented star in the making and then does really, really well, everybody says how dumb the player was. If the club signs a guy to one of these contracts and he doesn't perform, everybody talks about how dumb the club is. It's almost like to me, what it really says at the end of the day, and this is the thing that I find interesting, because I think we as fans have talked about it numerous times,
To me, what it says is the club looks at it and says, I'm going to spend X amount of dollars, and I'm going to invest in this guy, and, you know, we're going to play him. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. Hopefully he's good enough. If he's not, somebody else will come along, probably from the minors. It doesn't make much money, and we'll deal with it. But it just, to me, in the end, what it winds up looking like is exactly what this has been. And, you know, you got some guys that maybe could be doing a better job that aren't going to play in front of some other guys because they're committed to them. And I don't care if you make a bunch of money per year or if you make, you know, $5, $6 million a year. It doesn't really matter. If they're committed to you long term, you're going to get the benefit of the doubt. Sorry, but that's just how it is.
Yeah, and but that's how baseball has become because of back contracts, right? You know, that's what you're saying. Some of them are back contracts, and you cannot avoid that, and that's it. But when it's a good contract, nobody gives them a high price, you know, like a price. So, you know, it's kind of hard. It's kind of the two worlds. But, and I was going to mention something. Whenever you don't perform in the major leagues and you have a big contract, it's always going to be controversy. The biggest controversy for me is when you have a guy in the minor leagues that it's exploding and he's a great hitter and every single year have hit over 300 in the minor leagues. Every single year he has hit over 15 or 20 home runs in the minor leagues. And you don't even give him a chance. You don't even give him a chance. You wait 10 years. Like this kid we have, Ravelo. You give him 10 years, Jose Martinez. You give him 10 years in the minor leagues, raking and performing and RBIs and average and everything. You give him 10 years in the minor league. But then you have guys over here that are struggling for two or three years. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get that. I really don't get it. I'm always thinking like, okay, this guy's struggling, and you have a guy down there that is raking for 5 years in the minor leagues and never touched the big leagues. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you see that. I mean, it happens.
That's what I'm saying. That's crazy. What I'm saying. Those are the ones that hurt. Those are the ones that you're like, Adolis Garcia needs to be in the big leagues, in a club. Jairo Munoz needs to play every day. Who else? Martinez, he needs to play every day. Find him a spot. And if you don't find him a spot, do something with him that you can help your club. But let the guy do his thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to watch our best hitter last year with 80 RBIs in the bench every single day. It's really hard to watch. And then Jairo, every time he comes in, all he does is hit, run hard, hustles. All he does is 350, 340, 290, 280, whatever it is. But all he does is hit. But he gets to sit in the bench. Those are the things that I don't get in my heart. Like, what are we doing? But it comes down to what you just said. You pay the guy a certain amount of money and you're trusting him to break out for 5 years and he never does, or something like that, right? You know?
Yeah.
So I get what you're saying.
Well, it'll be interesting to see as we make an adjustment, is that's what we talked about to the show today. You know, that's what I want to see from our team. I know we briefly touched on, you know, hey, you know, and I'm not saying one way or the other, but you know, there was something big going on in town here that may have deflected a little bit of the inconsistent play from the Cardinals to start the season. But that's all over now, so it's all Cardinals all day, all night, and they're going to need to perform, or you know, this fan base is going to get a little disgruntled. Because as we've said before, I mean, how long can we go without making it back to the playoffs? Because I just don't know that. That it's going to get happy, much better.
If they're happy with their team, Jimbo, it doesn't matter if we make the playoff or not. Just remember that. Remember we talked about it before.
Yeah.
If they believe in their team, like they said, usually, right? If they believe in their team and they believe that this is their team, you're not going to see any changes. Very simple. You're not going to see the changes because this is their team. This is the the team they want. This is what they believe is going to get them to the World Series, you know? So you might not see many changes.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think we as fans, when things aren't going as expected, we expect change and we want it fast because, you know, let's face it, we love our team. We want to see mistakes fixed. I thought it was an interesting article in the paper the other, you know, yesterday that really kind of said, hey, you know, they kind of called the Cardinals out, and Mozeliak even kind of admitted, like, you know, we need to look at what we're doing because it's not working. So it'll be interesting. And I sure would like to see if the Cardinals can make an adjustment. I mean, we talk about players making an adjustment. We talk about what managers have to do. We talk about what teams need to do. Well, I guess in the end, the question is, can the organization make an adjustment? So it'll be interesting to see.
We got to find doers. Remember we had that conversation?
Yeah.
We got to find doers. We got to find the kids that do it, Jimbo. That's what we need to find. Kids that do it, that do the job. And right now, if you don't do it in this week, it's going to be really difficult to win. And we're just figuring that one out, huh?
Yeah, well.
If you don't do the job, if you don't do it, it's going to be really difficult to win games.
Well,
and go to the top again. So that's just how it is.
Well, let's hope that we can get this thing turned around. Like I said, I think and I mean this literally, the hangover here in town from the Blues run is probably about over. We're on a nice homestand. We've got a massive weekend series coming up. Albert comes back to town. Should be an amazing weekend.
And everybody thinks it's going to be all happy, happy. Pujols ain't happy. You know, he's happy to be back and say hi to the fans. But it's going to turn into I'm hunting for the Cardinals. And I really want to hunt them. I really want to win every single game against the Cardinals. That's what it's going to turn out to. People are thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to have Pujols. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Let's have some fun. Let's show him some love and all you want. He's not thinking that. He's not thinking, okay, I'm going to go to St. Louis to say hi to people. He wants to win all three games and by a beatdown. So you better wake up. If you're a Cardinal fan, you pay the respect to the man. But turn your page real quick because you're going to be surprised when these things happen. Because he ain't coming over here for fun. He's coming over here to beat down the Cardinals. And that's exactly what's gonna happen if we don't put our heads where we are. So it's not gonna be happy Pujols over here.
Well,
he's probably telling everybody from now on, hey, we're going to St. Louis. I want to win all three games by a beatdown. Come on, let's go. You know, he's already probably pumping them up in their clubhouse.
Well,
I'm telling you.
Let's welcome him back, and then let's win.
Yeah, let's welcome him. That's great. And then all of a sudden, turn the page and let's go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there, 100%.
Because he ain't gonna. I'm telling you, he's not gonna come. He's not coming over here on a happy note. He wants to say hi to the fans. He knows that the fans love him over here. You know, he'll be okay, you know, saluting or whatever. He'll be great doing all that. Once that game starts, it's all on, man. He wants to beat down the Cardinals. He really wants to beat them down. So we need to be prepared as a team. Oh, yeah, Pujols is coming back. It's great, man. We're gonna show him some love. But, hey, man, I tell you, you're going to have to turn around real quick. And face him as a player, you know?
Yeah, I'll be on my feet. I'll be clapping. Most people know that I love Albert Pujols as a Cardinal. I don't hold any – I was upset at the time. I was upset with him. I was upset with the Cardinals. And I don't tell anybody that they're right or wrong for being mad at either one. Listen, you do you. I know, you know, kind of what I felt. I know my situation, and I know I'll stand up and clap, and I hope, you know, many Cardinal fans join me. But if that's not your thing, well, then, hey, you do you. But I'm excited about it.
They will. They will. They'll get up and cheer him on and give him a standing ovation. You know, Yadi will stand up in the front and let him soak it in and all that. I know that. It'll happen. What I'm saying is that's not a mentality that he's coming with.
Oh, I know.
Over here.
Well, most competitors don't.
The mentality is to beat the crap out of him, out of the Cardinals. He's having Mike Trout being all loaded up. He's having the whole team. They're playing great. They hit the ball out. They really do play well lately. They don't care. I mean, I know Pujols cares, you know, obviously he cares about being in St. Louis and all that. He loves St. Louis. But once the game starts, man, better turn that mentality, because it's on.
Well, we're going to see. It's going to be a great weekend here. I know you're in town all week. I'm sure you're excited to be back and calling Cardinal baseball. I know our first Friday at Patio's is this week. I know the fans love listening to you talk about the Cardinals and having the opportunity to ask you some questions and get your thoughts. It'll be our first event of the year, so I expect it to be epic and great. And I know our fans appreciate you, Benji, for giving of some of your time.
It's going to be awesome.
Yep. Yeah, you're busy. You're a busy guy, but thankfully you're able to schedule it out where you can do some stuff and then head over for about 45 minutes to an hour and then head back and call the game. So I'm looking forward to it. I know a lot of our fans are. They've been asking when our first one is. So for all of our listeners out there, we'll see you at Patio's this Friday. Benji usually gets over there right about 5:15. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, whenever you tell me to show up and be okay over there, and I'll show up, man. I'll be there. It'll be fun, man. It'll be really fun.
Well, we just got to make sure you're out of there, I think, by 6:30, so you can get back over and call the game. So usually 5:15 to 5:30 for all of our listeners that want to join us. We'll be excited to have be a part of what we're doing at Patio's and enjoy us. As like I said, it's the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Make sure you guys check out our good friend Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. Residential, commercial, industrial, Randy Green with Innovative Companies is a name you should know and trust. Adam Smokehouse, best barbecue in St. Louis, folks, located on Watson Road. It doesn't matter if you have the staple ribs or something that they have every day or the specials, you're going to enjoy your food there. It's the best barbecue in St. Louis, in my opinion. St. Louis, Adam Smokehouse, here's your cue. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, tryouts right around the corner for everybody involved in this wonderful game of baseball. Go to GatorsBaseballAcademy.com to learn more. You've got your Missouri Gators. They're now expanding over into Illinois as well for all of our Illinois listeners that have kids that want to play baseball and learn and try to get better and also take advantage of their four-pillar system as we build men, not just baseball players. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Dr. KristenJacobs.com, learn more about her and the wonderful things that she does at her Ooh La La Wellness Anti-Aging and Spa. She does tremendous work. A passion of hers is reminding everybody to take care of their skin. While May was Skin Cancer Awareness Month, in her mind, it's Skin Cancer Awareness Day every day. Take the steps to make sure that you're being safe about what you do. And you can learn more by simply going to drkristenjacobs.com. I can't say enough about all the Facebook groups that allow us to post. Chris Lawless, Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7. Ron with his Cards on Deck crew. Vicky and Linda with I Am a Cardinals Fan, Yes I Am, and fans of Yadier Molina. To our good friend Mick Light with Art City Media, thanks for stopping by a couple weeks ago. I'm looking forward to expanding our market into your market, as that's something we're getting ready to start doing here soon, so we can start trying to expand our listenership and viewership, which is going to be something kind of new for us and cool. So excited about all these things as I try to bring everybody's favorite Benji Molina into more homes, into more earbuds, into more iPods across this great Cardinal Nation. So it's great stuff as always. Make sure you guys learn more about us at twobirdsandabat.com, where you can subscribe to the show as it's absolutely free. And check out our Two Birds bloggers by simply clicking on their banner. Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. Follow us. We'll follow you back if you're a Cardinal fan. Find us on Facebook. Type in Two Birds on a Bat. Make sure you like our page. Find our pinned post. Make sure you've commented on it, liked it, and shared it. That helps us reach more and more people. Find us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show as well. And, of course, part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of the newest streaming platform, Yo Radio.
For my good friend Benji Molina on the m4byyachty.com hotline, as always, this is Two Birds on a Bat. Let's go, Birds!
Go, Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.